Throughout his career, Kirk Cousins has made about $332 million in career earnings, which is second all-time with only one playoff win. And what I got to say to that, Kirk Cousins, get your money. Let me hold something, matter of fact. Welcome, welcome, Top of the Top, episode 242, Stash House Podcast, your boy Tyler checking in. First time listeners, thank y'all for tuning in. If you tune in weekly, salute, and this your first episode, so some topics you may want to hear about, thank you as well. Podcasts available on all podcast streaming platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Subscribe to your preferred platform. If you're watching this video on YouTube, make sure you like this video. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. All the things y'all do to help support this podcast, greatly, greatly appreciate it. Hope everyone had a safe week, safe weekend. Do the same this upcoming week as well. This week episode, we're going to start with the sports world. Let's start with sports. I've been starting with music the past couple weeks. So this week, let's talk about sports, mainly the NFL. A wild week or so in terms of free agency, a lot of moves have taken place to shake the league up a little bit. Some players re-signed as well. So let's talk about a few players. First off, let's talk about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins leaving Minnesota, joining the Atlanta Falcons. Four-year deal, $180 million, $100 million guaranteed. And I also saw a report saying throughout his career, Kirk Cousins has made about $332 million in career earnings, which is second all-time with only one playoff win. And what I got to say to that, Kirk Cousins, get your money. Let me hold something. Matter of fact, Kirk Cousins, only one playoff win, that many career earnings. His agent is definitely working. His negotiation skills has to be top-notch, top-tier. So shout out to Kirk Cousins, man. Get your money. I'm not mad at it. Get your money. Leaving the Minnesota Vikings, like I said, that means Justin Jefferson. I'm very curious about his career moving forward. Jefferson, easily one of the top wide receivers in the league, arguably the best wide receiver in the league when healthy. Of course, he dealt with some injuries last season. Kirk Cousins coming off an injury, an Achilles injury, I want to say. So the Falcons, in my opinion, they definitely are taking a risk with this much money, but at the same time, it's pros and cons to it. Yes, coming off an injury, you're worried about that, injury-prone quarterback, some people may say. But at the same time, man, you got Robinson at running back. You got Drake London receiver. You got Kyle Pitts in terms of tight end. Get the line together. Add some more weapons. The defense wasn't that bad last season, in my opinion. Really, last season, looking at the Atlanta Falcons, I could say easily the coaching position, Arthur Smith. I did not know. I forgot. I should have researched it again. I forgot what they said his family is from. Basically, it was like his family got money. His coaching experience isn't to the point where he probably should have been a head coach last year. They replaced him. They picked up Raheem Morris. He's now the head coach at Atlanta Falcons. And last year at quarterback position, you had Ritter and Heineke going back and forth throughout the season. No stability in terms of head coach or quarterback position for the Atlanta Falcons. So it is an upgrade, in my opinion, picking up Kirk Cousins. Once again, all depends on can he stay healthy. You have Kirk Cousins stay healthy, they definitely can make a run to win the NFC South. I want to say in terms of the NFC South, their only competition in terms of who can win, I'll say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know what I'm saying? So the Falcons, Kirk Cousins, we'll see how it play out. Once again, $180 million contract, 4 years, $100 million guaranteed. Kirk Cousins, career earnings, $332 million. Yeah, I want to make sure I got that right. $332 million with only one playoff win. We'll see how it goes for Kirk Cousins out in Atlanta. And just like I said, I'm looking to see what happens with Justin Jefferson in his future. I'm looking at my guy Justin Fields as well, out of Chicago. NFL draft coming up soon, April 25th. It seems as if the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams, quarterback from USC, number one. So where does that put Justin Fields? I personally said it. I wanted Justin Fields back in Georgia playing for the Falcons. I saw a report maybe the Raiders will make a move. We'll see. we'll definitely see. But it's been reported. I mean, you don't got to really report it. Just being a sports fan, you can tell if Caleb Williams and Justin Fields are in the same locker room. Hopefully there's no tension, but, I mean, they both will be competing for the starting position at quarterback in Chicago, in my opinion. I don't really see the difference in Justin Fields and Caleb Williams in terms of being the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. If you don't get that line together, if you don't give them guys no weapons, whatever the case may be, both quarterbacks, it don't matter who you put at quarterback, it's going to be a tough position to play in Chicago. So I'm looking to see what happened with Justin Fields. Like I said, NFL draft, April 25th. We'll see what happens with that. Also, another move, one big move in the AFC, Derrick Henry signing with the Baltimore Ravens. It was a foregone conclusion. Derrick Henry was leaving Tennessee. He said bye after the last game of the season, I believe. And the main question was, where would Derrick Henry land? I thought the Cowboys would make a move for it. Like, I saw somebody post, like, Jerry Jones, this your time, make a move, because Tony Pollard, he's now in Tennessee. So people were thinking Dallas Cowboys would make a move, but in typical Dallas Cowboys fashion, they didn't. He ended up in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, that whole squad over there, and really, he could play the missing piece in Baltimore. A running back of Derrick Henry caliber is exactly what Lamar Jackson needs in this point of his career as well. Two-time MVP, playoffs, you fell short once again, you need a guy you can just hand the ball out to. Lamar Jackson, in terms of quarterback position, yes, he can run. Yes, he's a very elusive quarterback. But if you can take a running back, taking that load off of Lamar Jackson, you go for it. And what better running back than Derrick Henry? You add another guy in the backfield to back up Henry, big move for the Baltimore Ravens. Big move. In this day and age, in 2024, if the Baltimore Ravens' number one goal on the board is, should be, of course you want to win the Super Bowl, but we need to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That should be plastered all over their facility. We need to beat the Chiefs, whether it's regular season, postseason, that's the team we got our eye on. If we can beat them, we can take care of the rest of the league. So that's the point now where Kansas City is at, where teams are looking to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs, definitely in the postseason. So we'll see how it goes. Me personally, I love the move by Baltimore. Derrick Henry, that's exactly who you need behind Lamar Jackson. Take the weight off his shoulders a little bit. Next move that caught my attention, Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley leaving New York Giants, heading over to the division rival, Philadelphia Eagles. Saquon, he was held back in New York as a Giant. He was held back. Quarterback position was held back. Offensive line, he was held back. His injuries, of course, held him back for some years. Saquon Barkley should have made this move years ago. I'm not sure what his contract situation was, but Saquon was easily like a guy. You're like, damn, man, I feel like he's about to go to waste in New York. Making his move to Philadelphia. Stay healthy. Philadelphia can make some noise. They just looked discombobulated last season. I said it when the season was going on this podcast. Like, yeah, they'll win games, but they body language, the sideline, you see the facial expressions, you hear reports after the game, locker room, media talk. It was just a bad look for the Eagles last season. We saw it come to play in the playoffs. Saquon Barkley, when healthy, changes the landscape of the NFC with the Philadelphia Eagles. Saquon got to stay healthy, though. I hate that's the go-to for a lot of these players, but we got to keep it real. When you get injured year after year or every other year, you got to take injury history into consideration when these players move to different teams. You don't wish that on nobody, but that's just the game they play. I hate to say it, but it is what it is. Philadelphia need to get that linebacker situated. Jason Kelsey, he retired. So the offensive line got to get together. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts. Going to be intriguing to see when it's 4th-and-1. Either 4th-and-goal, 4th-and-1 at the goal line or 4th-and-1, you know what I'm saying, driving up the field. Would they do to a quarterback the tush push that they've been doing all last season, or we just hand the ball off to Saquon? And who else would back up Saquon Barkley at that running back position as well? Intriguing to see what goes on in Philadelphia. A couple more moves. Joe Mixon from the Cincinnati Bengals, running back. He going to the Houston Texans. Also, Calvin Ridley going to the Tennessee Titans as well. So, in terms of free agency, I know I didn't talk about all the players, just something that caught my eye. In terms of free agency, a lot of things shaking up in the league, both in the AFC and the NFC. We'll see how it goes. Like I said, a lot more questions to be answered next month at the NFL Draft. Once again, that's April 25th. I'll be tuned into that. Now, let's take a look at things in the music world. First off, Future, Metro Boomin, huge announcement. Two albums dropping, March 22nd and April 12th. Far as I know, March 22nd, it would be called We Don't Trust You. Now, I'm going to say this off rip. I do not want a situation where March 22nd, we get this We Don't Trust You album, and then April 12th, they just bounce back with the quote-unquote deluxe edition. No, if you're saying you got two albums coming out, I want two separate albums. Now, if you want to take it back to when Future dropped in 2017, he gave us the Future and the Hendrix Project. Future Project, you could say more the street side, Hendrix more the R&B side, Future. Two separate albums. Do not tell me you're dropping an album one day, then a couple more weeks later, it's a deluxe. No Future in Metro. I want two separate albums. So I'm definitely looking forward to this. I was talking about it last year. I said it when Future dropped his last album, at this point in Future career, me personally, unless it's Future and Metro Boomin, my anticipation would have been just, So they would have said, yo, Future say he dropping two new albums. I'd be like, okay, cool. But the fact that it's Future and Metro, expectations are very high. Expectations are very high for Future and Metro. And I'm going to say this, the spring and summer is kind of riding on this project as well. Yeah, we got a couple records that dropped over the weekend as well. People, you know, they say this could last the summer. It's certain songs I've been seeing, people saying, yo, this going to last through the summer. It's already people putting they spot in terms of what can go in rotation throughout the spring or summer. Future and Metro, in terms of credibility, chemistry, track record, expectations are high. Expectations are very high. Going in with an open mind because in terms of Future, at this point in his career, y'all know I'm not the biggest fan of the R&B Future. I want something for the streets. I want something to where you hear people listening to it in the car and it's not the same song, but it's on the same album. I don't want to hear just the popular. I know they're going to give me one that everyone gravitates to, the one you're going to see trending on Reels and TikTok or Facebook, whatever. I understand they're going to do that. But I want the one, the B-side, where people who listen to it from front and back be like, nah, this the popular song, but he got about 3-4 on that can compete with that on any given day. And if he does give me R&B records or slower records that Future does nowadays in his career because he got audience that enjoy that, cool, I'm open-minded to it. I'm going to listen to it. I'm not just going to turn away from it. But in terms of what I want from this album, I don't want to say a monster too, because Metro, in terms of his production skills, has definitely raised his bar since Monster drop. We saw his last two projects, the Spider-Man soundtrack and the Heroes versus Villain. Metro can still tap into that dark production that I really enjoy from him. And if you're telling me we're getting Future and Metro, I know what I want to hear from those two guys. If you want me to say, have I heard a snippet? The track, go to YouTube and just type in Future 2 Obsessed. It sounds like something Future and Metro would do. It's called 2 Obsessed. So my expectations are very high for this project. I was talking about it throughout all of last year on this podcast. Like, damn, I'm ready for a Future Metro. They've been teasing it for a minute. Metro Boomin been posting on his Instagram for a minute. Him and Future in the studio working. I did not expect to see a 2 album announcement, but I'm not mad at it. Once again, March 22nd, which is this Friday. And April 12th. So next week, of course, I'm going to come back and talk about the Future Metro, We Don't Trust You. I'm ready for it. Also, another announcement, Party Next Door. A lot of things this past weekend in terms of music, things I've been talking about the past few weeks on this podcast, these guys and these women just popped out with records. I'm like, okay, thank you. Party Next Door, he announced April 26th. His project is coming out, P4. The fourth installment of his Party Next Door self-titled series. I'm ready for it. He also dropped a record called Real Woman over the weekend. I really didn't listen to it because the album announcement was good enough for me. When I saw the album announcement, I'm like, okay, I don't got to listen to the song. At this point, Party Next Door, I've been waiting since 2020. I'm just waiting on the album. And the album better drop April 26th. I don't want to hit no pushback dates or nothing. If the album come out April 26th, about 2-3 weeks later, I want to see a tour announcement. Y'all know I've been talking about Party Next Door touring album for the past couple years as well. I don't want to see no. I enjoy the rollout. I appreciate a rollout. Y'all know I appreciate a good rollout. But just know, when April 26th comes, that's when I'm pressing play on any music. Other than that, I hear it on TikTok, Instagram, whatever. But in terms of, yo, this song, I didn't hear it. The album announcement was good enough for me. So shout out to Party Next Door, P4 dropping April 26th. Also, Surf, TDE, just talked about him last week when I talked about the Schoolboy Q album. Surf from TDE announced his album Heavy, dropping March 22nd. I'm ready for that as well. Like I said, people been putting their name in hats and everything, so I'm going to get mine out the way so it can live through the spring, summer, fall, winter. I appreciate that. It's March, April. We need something to get us to June. By the time June, July get here, we should already have songs and albums in rotation, plus people who plan on dropping throughout the spring and summer as well. I'm really looking forward to see what the music will be like this spring and summer. This weekend, a lot of great music dropped as well. Flo Milli, she dropped a project. Boss Man D-Lo, who's popping right now, he dropped a project. Tierra Watt dropped a project. Chief Keef and Mike Will Made It dropped a project. My underground hip-hop heads, Ransom, Harry Fraud dropped a project. In terms of records, Sexy Red, I've been seeing that all on the timeline all weekend from men and women. I'm not mad. Like I say, man, in terms of like Sexy Red, that whole vibe she got going on, man, it's just the way the world we in now, man. We grew up on Trina. We grew up on Kaya, Kane Wayne with it, My Neck, My Back. Come on, y'all. Let's be honest. When I was young, I shouldn't have been singing Whistle While You Twerk by Yin Yang Twins, man. We grew up listening and reciting. At least I did. I can only speak for me. Let me only speak for me. Yes, I was listening to Nelly Country Grammar and Hot Boys. At the same time, man, we were seeing Lil' Kim on BET. We were seeing Foxy Brown on BET. We were seeing Trina, Trick Daddy. And we were seeing, come on, y'all. Now, the fact that it's, you know, a little bit, it's like back then, we got the cleanest version we could see on BET or listen to it on the radio. It was still bad, but it wasn't as, oh, we can't, you got to know your older cousin or somebody got the dirty version of the song on a bootleg CD or something like that. Nowadays, these kids can just open up their phone and see, bend that ass over. They can see it just like that. Back then, we had BET censor, radio censor, and you had to know somebody or older cousin to hear the dirty version. Now, that's the only thing I can really say. It's so easy for these kids to hear the explicit all the way now compared to back when we was growing up. But it's still, man, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I don't got no kids, so, you know, it is what. The women like it, cool. They've been singing Get It Sexy all weekend. The women like it, cool. In terms of the children, their exposure to it, I can see both sides. But at the same time, I remember growing up and reciting songs and woot de woo. Not to say I was going out at school, going to school, telling my teacher or nothing. It's like, no, it's the way of the world. You know, people grow up differently. People raised differently, man. Shout out to Sexy Red, though. People been singing her song all weekend. Cardi B dropped the record. Gunna dropped the record featuring Offset. So this made Offset the first person to collab with Gunna, I believe, in terms of hip-hop since he's been released. And I saw a video of Offset. He's on tour right now doing like a dance routine on stage. And I saw somebody on Twitter that was like, damn, how long has it been since we seen a rapper who has like a routine on stage, like a rapper? And I had to think. I was like, damn, it has been a while since. You know, we damn near don't get R&B singers, you know what I'm saying, with routines outside of, you know, like Usher, Chris Brown. I think Jacquees for a minute, he was doing like routines. But as a rapper, it's been a while since we've seen a rapper like on stage dancing, like on, like with backup dancers at the same time. So shout out to Offset, man. You got to do something different. Like I said before this, Cardi B dropped the record as well. It seemed like she getting ready to drop another album. It's been a while since we got a Cardi B album. She's been dropping records throughout the year. And she's been somebody I've been looking at since she came out in terms of music career, because I know she was popping on Instagram, then got on Love & Hip Hop, and then she got into music. And she's been somebody I've been looking at for a while, because when I got like in tune with podcasting a lot in terms of like music podcasts, like they really hyped her up. Like from her with Bodak Yellow getting hyped up and her first album getting hyped up to eventually winning that Grammy for best rap album that year, when you had Nipsey Hussle, you had Mac Miller, you had Travis Scott, Astroworld, you had, I want to say J-Rock, Redemption was, like, she beat, like, some great albums in 2018 for that Grammy. And me personally, I was like, I feel like that's some industry shit right there going on. And now, from then till now, I think maybe WAP with Megan was the only song that people really gravitated to. But it seemed like she'd been trying to find, in terms of, like, actual music hype, like, she Cardi B, like, women love her. You know, dudes want to sleep with her. Like, she's Cardi B. You know what I'm saying? But in terms of strictly, does this song sound good or not? It's been kind of like a little bump in the road she's been going through. Because it's like, fam, you won a Grammy in 2018 for Best Rap Album, and you haven't dropped a rap album since. And we were starting to think, like, damn, would she be like the next Lauryn Hill or somebody? Like, give us one album and not, you know what I'm saying? But she's been dropping throughout the years. It feel like she's just trying to catch one. That's what it is. Excuse me. Like, in terms of WAP with Meg, yes, people loved it, but at the same time, that was like, what, peak quarantine, I feel like. It had to be 2020, I feel like, that WAP record came out. Because everybody was like, damn, like, this is one that can go, but shit, we stuck in the house. And people that's out, it's like, you know, it didn't get the... It didn't last long like it could have. Like, I don't even hear it nowadays, that WAP record, compared to back then when we really couldn't shake and groove like we wanted to. So, Cardi B, I'm really looking forward to see how her year pan out. I feel like she planning on dropping. She doing media runs and all that. So, we'll see what happens with Cardi B. Like I said, the mysterious case of Sexy Red. People love her. People hate her. But she got one, it seemed like, with this Get It Sexy record. It seemed like she got one. Gunna, Offset, we'll see what that leads to in terms of Gunna, Offset. I do want to shout out Ty Dolla $ign and the boy Ye. The Carnival record went number one with Playboi Carti and Rich the Kid. I finally listened to the full Vultures project. It got a couple on there. It got the Carnival record I like, mainly because of Playboi Carti verse. The Do It record, Ty Dolla $ign, that sounds like a Ty Dolla $ign that don't need Kanye West on it. That's probably my favorite. The track with Freddie Gibbs. Even the track with Lil Durk, I'm not mad at. But outside of those, it's like, it's something to play, but I just played it, picked out my favorites, and now I'm going to the next subject, the next album. You know what I'm saying? So I do want to shout them out, though, because if you see Kanye, if you follow any hip-hop media on social media nowadays, and you see all this stuff Kanye been talking about with Adidas and the way these streaming networks been blackballing him and not showing his album, and the fact that they fought through all that and got number one. He's still doing the listening parties, which I say are concerts. You don't just go to arenas in Atlanta, LA, New York, Chicago, arenas, sell it out, and just call it a listening session. No, that's a concert. The people that are there just know the vibe that's going on. Like, the kids there, they know. He's not about to get on the mic. He's about to hide his face under a mask. It's going to be dark as hell. The kids there know what they're going into. They're not expecting the bright lights. And they know by now, since the Donda era, when he was doing that in Atlanta, you know you're just going there to try to listen because it's in a fucking arena or a stadium. So you know what you're getting into now when you go with you deal with Kanye West. You try to follow what Kanye West got going on. Every day is something new. Just give me the music, man. That's all I want to hear. And even at this point, when I heard the Vultures album, I'm like, damn, bro, Kanye really don't be saying nothing no more. He be like, it feel like when Kanye rap now, I feel like I'm listening to stuff I shouldn't be listening to in terms of private information. Like, you're talking about, you got my kids at a bad school. Your kids go to school in Calabasas, California. Come on, man. But shout out to him and Ty Dolla, got the number one record. Ty Dolla $ign, I need a solo album, dog. I need a solo album from Ty Dolla $ign, man. That Do It record, I was like, Kanye West does not need a verse on this. It sounds like a Ty Dolla $ign song he had. He was ready to drop it for the summertime. He knows he's going to do what he's going to do in the club. And Kanye was like, oh, let me get on that. And now it's being overshadowed by Carnival. Even though Carnival is a good record with the chanting in the background, and I get it, but that Do It record, DJs need to tap into the Do It record by Ty Dolla $ign this summer. That shit should last till Labor Day weekend. That should be one of the songs of the summer in the mix. Now, to wrap up this episode, let's talk some TV real quick, mainly about the show Power, mainly Power Book 2, Ghost. Last week, fans of Power, we received a message from 50 Cent saying later this year, we will get the last season of Power Book 2. We broke it up into two parts. First part will start June 7th. Second part will start September 6th. So we was like, damn, last season. Because some people, and I'll say outside of maybe the last season, because now I feel like Kanan are really picked up. I wasn't mad at season 2 of Force. Last season is probably the only drop-off, I'll say, for Power Book 2. But overall, it's a great way to spin off from the original Power series. I've enjoyed it for the most part. But I can say last season, it did take a slight dip for me. But all in all, I still enjoyed the show. So I was pretty bummed out to hear, damn, it's the last season. Then I had to think about how the last season ended. I'm like, okay, we'll see how it panned out. Woo doo woo. Cool. Then I want to say the next day or later that same day, we received word, yeah, this the final season, but it's due to cancellation of the show. And I was like, okay, so now I'm getting worried because I'm like, okay, I know how Power can be when it comes to this writing. And the fact that maybe did they hear about the cancellation before they shot the last season? Or did they find out now they got to go back? I'm not sure. So I am concerned about how this last season will go. And it's broken up into two parts, so a lot of moving factors with that. But then I heard the cancellation part. I was like, damn, what happened? Word is, I'm not sure if this is 100% fact or not, but I wouldn't be mad because it does kind of sound right. 50 Cent also announced we will have Power Origins, another spinoff coming, which will focus on the upcoming of Tommy and Ghost. Their upbringing, how they got in the game, mainly the spinoff everyone been waiting for. People have been wanting to see that even before the Tariq series. Tariq was coming fresh off Power, but people wanting to know, dang, how Ghost and Tommy got cool, how did Kanan come apart, the guy Breeze, how he become. People want to know that. So the word is Power Book 2 is supposedly the most expensive spinoff of the Power shows, meaning budget. And it's been a running joke for the past couple seasons now. Tariq wearing all this designer, Kane wearing all this designer, Mary J. Blige, the cars they driving, the scenery, the camera shots. That costs money. So they basically saying we cutting the budget all the way from our most expensive show and putting it into the upcoming show that we really still got to go through the first season, get renewed for the next season. Welcome to the world of television, ladies and gentlemen. We've been talking about it. Dior's outfits, Amiri, jackets, cars, it costs money. Now, did I think it'll happen like this? No. Because like I said, it is one of the most popular shows on Starz. The whole Power universe is built around, is the whole Starz app, I'll say, is built around the Power universe. People wasn't dealing with Starz before Power. And for me personally, it took three seasons of the original Power for me to oh, what's this? Let me check it out. Woop de woop, boom, boom, boom. So a lot of moving factors. Michael Rainey Jr., who plays Tariq, saying he found out the same time the fans found out. And 50 Cent saying, yeah, that's because you don't answer your phone. So, 50 Cent been having his dealing with Starz over the years. He executive produced Power and everything. And I remember this is before I was locked in with Power. They were saying how Ghost, the guy who played Ghost, was having contract negotiations. And because he was on some, well, yeah, my contract says this when I first joined Power. Well, when we first started Power, I'll say, we didn't know it was going to turn into this. So now I'm going back for contract renegotiations. I want a bigger bag. I'm the main character of y'all biggest show. I want a bag. And they ain't do right by him, supposedly. So, who knows what happened with Power Book 2. Like I said, I'm very intrigued to see how this two-part series finale go in terms of the first part, how many episodes, second part, how many episodes, when this origin's coming about. And also, man, it's been complaints about the BMF series. Me personally, I told you, I'm just waiting on when the shit get popping. What we see on the DVDs, on YouTube, when the tiger in the club, Big Meech's birthday party. I'm waiting on that. I understand you giving us, you know, little by little, year after year. I understand that. I'm ready for the 2000s era of BMF, especially after this past episode with the Tupac character based in 1991. I'm guessing it got to be early 90s because Death Row Tupac ain't just chilling in the cut smoking at a music conference in Atlanta. Not Death Row Tupac. And then, of course, y'all know the whole thing. They got the Tupac character. And then they suppose another episode, Meech wearing AirPods. There's been a lot of complaints so far about this season of BMF. Only 3 episodes in. We'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I was kind of bummed out, man, to hear Power Book 2 Ghost is being canceled. But at the same time, they are giving us the spinoff we've been waiting for. So it's like, you know, it's the television business. That's the best way I can really explain it. Just the way of the television business. So this has been episode 242, Stash House Podcast. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Make sure you guys go out. Have a great work week. Great school week. Stay safe. Drink plenty of water. Be aware of your surroundings. Keep me in your prayer. I'll do the same for y'all. Salute.